got my feelings hurt just a little bit this week. Happened very innocently, and I got over it, but someone asked me what I had been doing, and that particular morning, I had spent about 3 hours on my refrigerator, and I was explaining to this person how I had cleaned the refrigerator. And they never should have asked me the question if they did not want me to tell them. And to clean my refrigerator, the best way I can explain it, it's sort of like working on a transmission. I have parts left over. And I was really proud of myself. But this person, as I was starting to go into detail, he said, "Well, have you never cleaned a refrigerator?" I said, "Yes, I've cleaned that one before several times." I learned that sometimes people are not interested in what I have to say. I hope today you're interested in what I have to say. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Pat read four verses here, and I'm traditionally one that just stays right with the package, but I'm going to deviate a little bit here. In 1 Timothy 4, generally, we use this group of texts to talk about some rules that have been in certain churches about not eating certain types of food and the clergy not being able to marry and so forth. But I want to go a totally different direction. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says," if you're using the King James, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." I started reading this text earlier this week, and I was thinking, how can I avoid being part of the prophetic fulfillment of this text? The power of God is speaking. The presence of God is speaking. And God says expressly, without any doubt, very clearly, very convincingly, that in the latter times, or near the end of time, some people will leave the faith. I do not choose to be one of those that depart from the faith. And God forbid that you should leave the faith on my watch. Shall not let it happen if there's any way to prevent it. But the Bible says that in the last days, some who are in the faith will leave the faith. And instead of listening and adhering to the genuine truth and the Word of God in its simplicity, it says here that they give heed, or they give in, they listen and follow and become convinced by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This is an awful thing to even try to figure out. There's more to the story than just a group of people teaching doctrinally that you should not marry and what to eat or not to eat. There's much more to the story. God says that in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. You've heard me speak previously about church growth studies. how that people leave the church generally, not because of doctrinal issues, but generally because they do not feel accepted or welcome or received, or maybe some person with good intention or not good intention hurts their feelings. This is a little different right here. This demonstrates a planned and generated attack by Satan against the people of God, culminating with a special forces near and at the end of time. Maybe this is what Jesus references more than once. Will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24? In Matthew chapter 24, it says this. Matthew 24 and verse 24. He says, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Now, what you will see today in the text that I've got lined up, you will see that Jesus was speaking into the future, but just a few years later, that really does begin to happen, and we read how that it has happened already in the past, and yet it's happening then. I'll show you then, and in a chronological sense, it's going to happen in the future. So we have this great truth in the past, the present, and the future, that the devil is intentionally attacking the people of God and the faith of God. And I'm not so narrow-minded to believe that only Seventh-day Adventists are represented in this great conflict. There are great men and women of faith who will go to church in the morning, serving God with all of their heart and loving Him to the best knowledge and ability they have. At the same time, we have some in our own denomination who apparently don't cling to the basic fundamental truths as they should. So moving outside of denominationalism, though, we have to define the people of faith as those that love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Would you agree with me there? And also, there's another definition that begins to come toward the latter times, and that's a separation of people. As things move rapidly to a close and the great beast power of Revelation and then Daniel begins to have part in the conflict between right and wrong, there are people who choose, they make a stand on the side of right. We sort of identify those people at that time as having the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus, in direct opposition to those that would follow the beast power and receive the mark of the beast. Two groups of people. But to move from this side over onto the devil's side is predicted in Scripture to happen to some people. And I don't want that to ever happen to you. Turn with me, if you will, to another text very quickly. Just look over here at Mark chapter 13, I believe it is. Mark chapter 13. One of the first things that Jesus said when the disciples asked him about the signs of the end time, Jesus' response was, "Do not be deceived." And here in Mark chapter 13 in verse 22, it says, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Now, I'm saying today that people of faith are represented here by that term, the elect. As we move closer to the end of time, the remnant people of God are characterized, though, by a genuine appreciation and obedience to the commandments of God and to the testimony of Jesus. But Christ himself predicted what would take place. Will you turn with me to the book of Peter? 2 Peter, please. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. One of the ideas that attracts Seventh-day Adventist people is the idea of prophecy. There are those that are mixed up in prophecy, and they want your attention, and they want your money, and they want to convince you that they are right and that our traditional approach to Bible prophecy is wrong. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The text that we just read there in Timothy, it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. The Holy Spirit has more than one way to speak. Scripture has some interesting things to say about that. One time a donkey heard the voice of God. One time a whale was impressed to vomit at the command of God. That's the story of Jonah. One time the sky being ablaze with lightning and stirred with thunder and pouring rain became calm at the verbal request of the Creator. Peace, be still. Prophets of yesteryear heard the voice of God speaking either silently or maybe even audibly at times. Over and over again, the Scripture says, in reference to a Bible writer's experience, the Lord says. Well, how does the Lord speak? He can speak through His Word. He can speak audibly. He can even speak in your mind silently. But when the Spirit speaks, God's people are supposed to be able to figure it out. Here in the book of Peter, prophecy never came by the will of man, but prophecy comes by the direct intercession from the throne of God to man, and then man writes it down. That's what you have in your Bible. Is the record of those prophecies. Verse 1 now of the next chapter. But there were also false prophets among the people. And in prayer meeting, we studied about Balak and Balaam the other day. He was commanded to speak curses against Israel, but when he opened his mouth, only blessings came out. I like it when God does things like that against the devil. Verse 1, there were false prophets among the people. Now listen to me, though. even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and they bring on themselves swift destruction. That's an interesting text. We have so much doctrine to talk about. Have them it's even published in a book. Sometimes I wonder how anyone's expected to remember all of that. I hope and pray that I never become a false teacher. I have changed a little bit theologically over the years, and I like to think of it as maturity. But I really don't want to be a false teacher. I know I'm not a prophet. Neither do I want to be a prophet. There's enough accountability that comes with just being a pastor teacher. Sometimes I don't always even know what to say. At a funeral this week, the family had asked me to do certain things, and I did them to accommodate the family. After the service, at the graveside, a lady came up to me, and she said, "You are a Seventh-day Adventist, aren't you?" I never mentioned that in the sermon. And I said, "Yes." And she says, "Well, so am I." Yesterday, I had an interesting experience. I mentioned it to Dawn briefly back here. She's leaving Murray Medical Center, and there's a lot of change and transition there. And I'm kind of now serving as the official chaplain there on a volunteer basis. The CEO took me around to each department. And I'm thinking, you know, in the days ahead, I'm going to become acquainted with each of these employees. It's like a separate congregation. They have needs just like you have needs. Some of them have pastors, I'm sure, and some of them don't. I don't know how it's all going to work out. First time in my life I've ever stood there beside the ambulances and prayed that God would give guidance and protection to those men and women who drive and perform first aid. They're the first responders to trauma. Sometimes I simply don't even know what to say. But by the grace of God, it always comes out okay. I know God uses this little brain of mine because I couldn't say what often is delivered if he wasn't helping me. And to be a false teacher, that's something I don't want any part of. You don't want to listen to a false teacher either. It would cause you to lose out on heaven. Verse 2, it says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Acts 20:29, the Apostle Paul says, that I know after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And verse 30 says that some of those people would even arise within the church. Believe it or not, there have been occasions when I have to exercise pastoral authority and sit down with someone and say, you know, brother, the direction of your study really needs to change. I don't always say it that bluntly, but the message is the same. The devil would love to disappoint you. He would love to bring doubts to your mind. He wants to attack you, and he wants to attack the people of God. Revelation 16, we've got to move on here. Unique chapter, fantastic chapter in Bible eschatology, bringing to our mind the idea of the seven last plagues and the whole idea of Babylon and apostate Protestantism and the beast and the dragon. And we find here in Revelation 16 this passage of Scripture. These thoughts are presented here. I would like to begin with verse 13. John says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs." Now, if you just stop right there, if you go do some research on that, frogs do not have spirits. Probably a reference here to the paganistic origin in the Old Testament there with Egypt. A reference to the plagues coming at the hand of God to help destroy the enemy. But it's evil. But it detects a time in history when the spotlight is on the people of God. And you are in that group. The spotlight is to destroy your faith, to damage your relationship with Scripture and the doctrine of Scripture, and cause you to believe the demonic teachings. It's intentional. John says, verse 13, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Now, you could put names to those. And we do at times in deep Bible study, but today we could just kind of say those three represent those in this time of Bible prophecy who are against the people of God. This group of people here represent the remnant of Satan, and they are in contrast against the remnant people of God. Like to read something to you. I got this out of the book Christ. I got this out of the book God Cares. It says, "We are intrigued that the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet make up the three entities, just as there are three members in the Holy Trinity. Revelation speaks of the throne of God and of the throne of the beast. Jesus at Calvary received a mortal wound and was resurrected. The leopard-like beast receives a mortal wound, and he is healed." All through Revelation is this great contrast between right and wrong, good and evil, between Christ and Satan, eventually coming to a conflict between the remnant of Satan, who claim there is no law of God. Every man's free to just believe as he chooses. And that contrasted to the remnant people of God who choose to keep His commandments and have the testimony of Jesus. That's what it boils down to. I'm wanting you to see today that there is an intentional and purposeful attack being planned on you and the people of God. We're going to talk some more about this later. But there is a safeguard. There is a safety net. This is not inclusive. But if you would turn back with me to where we started, we shall close there today. This takes us back to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. I want to read two texts here as I close today. He says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." That is a wonderful verbal bouquet for the people of God. What makes them so special? Well, here it comes. Without controversy, great is that mystery of godliness. I told them at Ranger, you know, I continue to think about the idea of present truth. I don't understand it all. We've talked about it before here. This is some present truth right here. You can study this, not be deceived. You will learn new things, but it will ground you in Scripture and in the Word of God. Verse 16. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory. If we would spend more time thinking about these things, I believe we would become glued to the things that are really important. And God would use us to the benefit and the salvation of other people.